بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أنا الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تبارك وتعالى، وخير هدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن العظيم الذي لا يأتيه الباطل بين يديه ولا من خلفه: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ألم تر إلى الملأ من بني إسرائيل من بعد موسى إذ قالوا لنبي لهم ابعث لنا ملكا نقاتل في سبيل الله، قال هل عسيتم إن كتب عليكم القتال ألا تقاتلوا، قالوا وما لنا ألا نقاتل في سبيل الله وقد أخرجنا من ديارنا وأبنائنا، فلما كتب عليهم القتال تولوا إلا قليلا منهم والله عليم بالظالمين. We begin today's lesson, inshaAllah, tabarak wa ta'ala, doing the tafsir of ayat number 246 from Surah Al-Baqarah. And for those of you who do not have the Qur'an, we would just like to remind you again that if you bring your Qur'an, inshaAllah, to read along with us for emphasis, it's going to be in your best interest. In this ayat in 246 of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us again about a story from the children of Israel, Bani Israel. And as we said in some of the lessons previously, Bani Israel means the children of Israel. And Israel was who? Who is Israel? Israel is Ya'qub. The other name for Israel is Ya'qub or Jacob. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah, have you not thought about the group of the children of Israel after the time of Musa, when they said to a prophet of theirs, appoint for us a king so that we will fight in Allah's way. The prophet of theirs said to them in response, would you then refrain from fighting if fighting was prescribed for you? They said, why should we not fight fi sabilillah while we have been driven out of our homes and our children and our families have been taken as captives by the enemy? But when Allah prescribed fighting upon them, they turned away from fighting. They refused to do so, all except a few of them. And Allah is all aware of the oppressors, of the wrongdoers, the zalimun. First of all, ikhwan, in this ayat, the first ayat that we're going to deal with, the prophet who was being spoken to in this ayat is a prophet from Bani Israel by the name of Shamwil. Shamwil. And Shamwil is Samuel. Samuel. His name is mentioned in the Bible that has been tampered with. The children of Israel, they said to Samuel, make us a king that we can make jihad fi sabilillah. Shamwil, knowing Bani Israel's history and knowing Bani Israel's condition as an ummah, they were hard-necked at that time, their hearts were hard, they were disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knew that if fighting was prescribed upon them, what would be their response to that command? So when they asked him to make a king for them so that they would fight in the cause of Allah with that king, he said to them, would you then refrain from fighting if fighting was prescribed for you? Because he knew that that's going to be the condition. And this is similar to what happened to the Sahabas. The Sahabas were the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The exact example of what took place in this ayah happened with the Sahabas. And it's happening in today. In that the Muslims feel that they are in a position where they're ready to fight, and they're ready to go to jihad and stand up for the haqq and so forth and so on, but in actuality, they are not ready for such a thing. In Surah An-Nisa, in ayat number 77, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us of what happened with the Sahabas when he said, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ قِيلَ لَهُمْ كُفُّوا أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةُ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةِ فَلَمَّا كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقِتَالِ إِذَا فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ يَخْشَوْنَ النَّاسَ كَخَشَّةِ اللَّهِ أَوْ أَشَدَّ خَشَّةِ وَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا لِمَا كَتَبْتَ عَلَيْنَا الْقِتَالِ لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنَا إِلَى أَجْلٍ قَرِيبٍ. Allah Ta'ala tells us, have you not seen those from amongst the Sahaba who it was said to them, hold back your hand? They were in Mecca, and Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala prevented them from fighting back and protecting themselves against the persecution that they were receiving from the mushrikeen of Quraysh. 77 in Surah An-Nisa. Allah Ta'ala ordered them in the Quran, hold back your hands. Do you not see those who were said to them, hold back your hands and establish salah and pay the zakat? And when fighting was prescribed upon them, when behold, a group of them began to fear the people as they should fear Allah or even more than that. And they said, our Lord, why have you prescribed upon us fighting? If you only give us some respite, give us a chance, give us more time. This is the statement of some of the Sahabas who were with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the beginning of Al-Islam, being that the Muslims were in Mecca, and as you all know, fighting in Mecca is haram. You cannot spill blood of an animal in Mecca under certain conditions. You cannot chop a tree down in Mecca. You cannot fight a man in Mecca. That's why they call it Al-Masjid Al-Haram, the sacred masjid. So what happened was, when they were receiving this persecution, a group of the Sahabas, they wanted to retaliate against the kuffar. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala revealed to them, and He said to them, hold back your hand. Do not fight now. First of all, you're in Mecca. And second of all, you have less men than the kuffar. The iman is not in your heart. And if all of the tribes were together against you in Mecca, they'll destroy the dawah. So Allah told them to establish the salah and to give the zakat. And then when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam moved to Medina and made the hijrah, and fighting became prescribed upon them, and the ayahs of fighting became wajib, obligatory upon them, a group of them said, رَبَّنَا لِمَا كَتَبْتَ عَلَيْنَا الْقِتَالِ. Oh our Lord, why have you prescribed upon us fighting? Because now the reality of the situation is staring them in the face. So likewise, Ikhwan, we have to make the correlation between that time and this time. We know that the Prophet's da'wah is split up into two halves. For the first 13 years, he was in Mecca calling to, alaykum salam, La ilaha illallah. And the only issues that he dealt with in Mecca were trying to get the aqidah of the people together. Trying to get the people to believe in the hereafter, in the paradise, the reward of the paradise. Describing to them how Allah was and how Allah wasn't. What Allah does and what He does not do. For 10 years he called to La ilaha illallah. They didn't have to fast, they didn't have to make hajj, even though they were right there in Mecca. They didn't have to fast in Ramadan. And then when he made the hijrah from Mecca, the rules and regulations started to come, because now the Muslims had a base from which they can go out to fight. They had a base from which they can do the things that were necessary to make the da'wah spread. As in Mecca, it was like a child in the cradle. And then in Medina, as you all know, for 10 years, he established al-Islam in the peninsula. So now we have to look at our condition. We have to say to ourselves, our condition today, the Muslims, is it similar to the time of Mecca or the time of Medina? And when we look at our condition, no doubt, our condition is similar to the time of what? Which time? Mecca, no doubt. We have no power. We have no base. We're undivided. We don't understand the religion. The Muslims are out of it. So with that being the case, what we should do as a ummah when we want to establish Islam is use the methodology that the Prophet ﷺ used when he was in Mecca. Now, okay, what you do, inshallah, is after the test, because after the dars, we're going to leave that for discussion between the jama'ah, because that's going to take some time to deal with. So don't forget that we're going to deal with that. How do we understand that issue? So now, we find it strange that we find some people who want to have a physical confrontation with the kuffar, and our condition in England is that we do not even possess the basic necessities that are needed for a community to survive, like our food, like our clothes, like our financial systems. We don't have anything like housing. We depend on the kuffar for housing. So if the people really wanted to cause problems for us, they are in a very good position to do so. So therefore we say to the brothers, now is the Meccan period for us in this country. So therefore we need to use the methodology that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used in Mecca. In the next ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ayat number 247, وَقَالَ لَهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ بَعَثَ لَكُمْ طَالُوتَ مَلِكًا قالوا أن يكون له الملك علينا ونحن أحق بالملك منه ولم يؤت سعة من المال قال إن الله اصطفاه عليكم وزاده بسطة في العلم والجسد والله يؤتي ملكه من يشاء والله واسع عليم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this next ayah, and their prophet Shamwil alayhi salatu wassalam said to them, verily Allah has appointed Talut, and the name for Talut is Saul, as a king over you. The children of Israel said, how can Talut be a king over us when we are better fitted than him for the kingdom and he has not been given enough wealth? The prophet said, verily Allah has chosen him above you and has increased him abundantly in knowledge and stature. And Allah grants his kingdom to whoever he wills, and Allah is all sufficient for his creature's needs, and he is all knowing. Here, ikhwan, so far since we've been dealing with these issues, we've been seeing the characteristics coming through day in and day out of Bani Israel. But before we've been talking about that, this Talut, or Saul, he was not from the tribe of Judah. And Bani Israel, what used to happen was that the prophets came from the tribe of Levi. Musa, Isa, Ishaq, Yaqub, all of them, if you were a prophet, it was in their deen that he was from the tribe of Levi. And as you all know, Levi is one of the sons of Yaqub. His brothers Yusuf, his brothers Benjamin, his brothers Judah, there were 12 of them. All of the prophets came from Levi, or Lawi in Arabic. And the kings who had power over them came from the tribe of Judah. And this is why they call that kafir from Ethiopia, Haile Selassie, the Lion of Judah. Lion people. He's a liar. Lion. So here, when Bnei Israel asked the prophet Samuel to make a king over them, he picked for them Saul. So they had a problem with Saul because Saul was not from the tribe of Judah. So they said, how is he going to be a king over us and we have more right to the kingdom than he does? He's not even from our tribe. Racism. He's not even from our tribe. We wanted Islam, Islam for black people. We can't take Islam from anyone else other than the black person. Bnei Israel. Had it been understood by Bnei Israel that here they are asking a prophet, Samuel, to make them a prophet and make them a king, whoever he picks, they should submit because this is coming from the prophet. So you remember when we did Surah Al-Baqarah, why is it called Surah Al-Baqarah? And we told you about the ayahs when Bnei Israel came to Musa and he said to them, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ إِن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرًا قَالُوا أَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزُوًا قَالَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. When the Bnei Israel came to him and they asked him about the dead man, he said to them, Musa said to them, verily Allah has ordered you to slaughter a cow. They said to him, do you take us as fools? Are you playing with us? And we explained how that question is kufr. Likewise, when they say to Saul, to Samuel, he has no authority over us, we have more right, this is a statement of kufr by Bnei Israel. Whenever the Messenger of Allah, whether he be Musa, or whether he be Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or whether he be Isa when he comes back, if he says to do something, it's obligatory upon the Muslim to obey him and not to ask any questions. Because if you were to ask questions, that would imply that you have doubt in his prophethood, that you have doubt in his messengership. This is why in the Quran, in so many ayahs, Allah tells the Muslims, وَمَنْ يُتِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزٍ عَظِيمًا. Whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, they have gotten a serious success. So many ayahs. وَعَتِيُ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولُ. Obey Allah and His Messenger. So now, last week, or the week before that, last week when we dealt with Adam and Iblis, we talked about how Iblis, when Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala told the Malaika to make sajda to Adam, and they all fell prostrate to Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, except Iblis. Iblis made qiyas. Qiyas. And he said, I'm not going to bow down to Adam. You created him from dirt, mud, and you created me from fire. I'm better than him. So in Iblis's mind, being that this fire moves very quick, being that this fire is very strong, being that the fire as a creation is respected, he thought himself to be better than Adam, whose origin came from mud, dirt, in the eyes of the people, something that's useless, worthless. Now we find Bnei Israel doing the same thing again, and we're going to continue to see it come through over and over. Why do we harp upon a point, Akhi? We harp upon this point because the Prophet ﷺ said in an authentic hadith that's been collected by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. And whenever the Muslim hears that the hadith has been agreed upon by al-Bukhari and Muslim, he knows that this is the most authentic hadith in the dunya. The Prophet ﷺ said in this hadith, لَتَتَّبِعَنَّ سُنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلُكُمْ شِبْرًا بِشِبْرٍ وَذَرَاعًا بِذَرَاعٍ حتى إذا دخلتم حجر الضب لتخلتموها. قالوا النصارى واليهود. قال فمن. Verily you people are going to follow the ways of the sunnahs of the people who went before you. A hand span by a hand span and an arm span by an arm span. Until the point, if one of them went into the lizard's hole, you'll go into the lizard's hole. So now we read this ayat right before our very eyes, that they're asking the Prophet so many questions. Likewise, we have the people in our ummah. When the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to the Muslim, Ya Abdullah, A'fu liha, wajazzu shawarib. He says to you, Abdullah, Muslim, leave your beard. and trim your mustache. One of us says, why? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to you, Ya Abdullah Muslim, don't devour riba. One of us says, riba is like buying and trading. I buy it for £5 and I sell it for £6. So riba is, I give it to him for £5, I take it back from him for £6. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, spin in the cause of Allah, we have the person from amongst us who says like the Jews, نحن أغنياء والله فقير. We're the rich ones and Allah is poor. The proof of that is that He needs us to spin, so they didn't spin. So, again, when we read these ayahs of the Quran, ikhwan, we need to contemplate on these issues. We need to contemplate on the fact that these ayahs and these stories that Allah Ta'ala gives us is given to us so that we can get lessons from them. We can get lessons from them. So for those of us, wallahi, for those of us who are confronted with problems in our lives, irregardless of what the problem is, wallahi al-azim, you can find solace, peace, tranquility in the book of Allah if you went to it and you read it. And this is why Allah Ta'ala gives us these stories of these Anbiya. Because none of our problems are similar to their problem. When we look at the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, for instance, he said to us, whoever has a fitna, a test, then let him compare himself to me. The Messenger of Allah lost his father and his mother as a youth. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lost his grandfather as a youth. Lost his uncle as a youth. When he started to preach the message that will give people life, they said to him, instead of accepting that which will give him life, you're crazy. You're a magician. You're a poet. And then they started to kill the closest people who were around, like his companions. Lost all of his children, with the exception of Fatima. His son died. His daughters died, with the exception of Fatima. Got thrown out of the place that he loved, Mecca. The people physically beat him up at the Kaaba, in jihad. So there's no one whose situation is similar to that situation. So similarly, when we look at the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we see that we can get benefits from his life, the rest of the ayahs of the Qur'an are the same way. So when we read these ayahs like this from Bani Israel, what we need to do is we need to realize that this is an argument against us, Yawmul Qiyamah, in front of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. When we see how they act and we turn around and act the same way, the reward that they receive will be the reward that you receive. 59 to tell me, okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went on in the next ayah and says, وَقَالَ لَهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ إِنَّ آيَةَ مُلْكِهِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ الطَّابُوتُ فيه سكينة من ربكم وبقية مما ترك آل موسى وآل هارون تحمله الملائكة إن في ذلك لآية لكم إن كنتم مؤمنين. And Samuel said to them, verily the sign of Saul's prophecy and his kingdom is that there shall come to you, O Bani Israel, the Tabut. Inside of that tabut is sakina. Sakina from your Lord and a remnant of that which Musa and Harun left behind. It will be carried by the angels, and verily in this is a sign for you if you are indeed believers. As you can see here in the footnote, the Shaykh Hafizullah Ta'ala brings an authentic hadith on the authority of Al-Bara, and it's in Sahih Bukhari, in which he tells about the companion who was reading Surah Al-Kahf and his horse became agitated and disturbed. When the man told the Prophet ﷺ about what happened, the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said that that was sakina, the sakina that comes down from the recitation of the Qur'an. In another authentic hadith, the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said مجتمع قوم في بيت من بيوت الله يتلون كتاب الله ويتدارسونه فيما بينهم إلا نزلت عليهم السكينة وغشتهم الرحمة وهفتهم الملائكة وذكرهم الله في من عندهم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in this hadith, a group of people do not come together in one of the houses of Allah to read the book of Allah and to study it between themselves except that the sakina comes down and the mercy of Allah comes down and the angels come down and surround them and Allah mentions them with those who are with Allah. So the Shaykh brings this hadith because some of the people who gave the tafsir of the Quran, the Mufassirun, they say that this tabut or this wooden box inside of it was the Torah, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that was revealed to Musa, the book in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Musa by his speech. So we have many examples, ikhwan, where the Prophet used to tell their people about the signs that were going to happen as a proof for their prophecy. So now we have Shamuel or Samuel telling the people of Bani Israel, one of the signs of the truthfulness of the kingdom of Saul is the fact that this tabut is going to come back to you. The tabut that was taken from you in war, Bani Israel. It will come back to you and the angels will bring it back. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also told us many ayats that were going to happen as proof of his prophecy. You all know of the authentic hadith of the famous man who was not a companion. For the Prophet ﷺ told about this man. His name was Uwais ibn Amir al-Qarni. He was from Yemen. The Prophet told the Muslims, verily there is going to come to you a man from Yemen whose name is Uwais ibn Amir al-Qarni. He would have been afflicted with al-barad, or leprosy at one time. But he will become cured and there's only going to be a spot the size of a dirham remaining. He will come to you here in Medina, and he will not leave anyone back in Yemen except his mother, who he faithfully took care and saw to her needs. He said, if you see this man, if he comes to you people, then ask him to ask Allah for forgiveness for you. For verily, if he makes dua to Allah, Allah will answer his supplication. So when the people came from Yemen, the wafd, what do they call it, emissaries? When the people came from Yemen, the mission, the emissaries to Umar ibn al-Khattab in Medina, and Umar heard that the tribe of al-Qarn was with them, he said to them, Hal fikum Uwais al-Qarni? Is this man with you? They say, yes. So he said, verily I heard the Messenger of Allah say. So he narrated the hadith that I just said. And he said, so make dua that Allah forgive me. So he made dua that Allah forgave him. Another proof against the Shiite, that Umar is from the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven for his sins. We have enough hadith already from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talking about the virtues of Al-Faruq. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married his daughter. Why would the Prophet marry his daughter? So when the Shiites turn around and say that Umar is a homosexual or he's in the hellfire, this is one of the many hadith that are a refutation on him. The fact that Uwais ibn Amir, whenever he made dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah accepted that dua according to revelation. The Prophet said that. So he asked him for this dua. He made the dua. So Umar ibn al-Khattab is from the maghfureen, from those people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven. Also, there are many examples of the signs that the Prophet told about that have come true. And some that have not come true. The next ayah, inshallah ta'ala, and we have to hurry up here because time is not on our side. Ayah number 249, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا فَصَلَ طَالُوتُ بِالْجُنُودِ
قال إن الله مبتليكم بنهر فمن شرب منه فليس مني ومن لم يطعمه فإنه مني إلا من اخترف غرفة من بيدي فشربوا منه إلا قليل منه. فلما جاوزه هو والذين آمنوا معه قالوا لا طاقة لنا اليوم بجالوت وجنوده. قال الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقوا الله كم من فئة قليلة غلبت فئة كبيرة بإذن الله والله مع الصابرين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah, then when Talut set out with his army, he said to them, verily Allah will try you with a river or by the river. So whoever drinks from that river, he is not from me, meaning he can't follow me in my army. And whoever tastes not from the river, he does not drink from it, or he only takes a handful from the river, then he can follow me. So they all drank from the river except a few of them. So when he crossed the river, him and his army, those who believed with him, they said, we do not have any power on this day against Goliath and his host, his army. But those who knew with certainty that they were to meet their Lord said, how often does it happen that a small group of people vanquish and conquer a mighty group of people by Allah's permission? And Allah is with those who are patient. Here again, ikhwan, when we read the Quran, for an example, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about Bani Israel in ayat number 22. When he said concerning them, قالوا يا موسى إن فيها قوم جبارين وإن لن ندخلها حتى يخرج منها فإن يخرج منها فإنا داخلون. The children of Israel, they said to Musa when they were going to fight a group of people with Musa, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala ordered them to enter into the land and to go fight these people. They said to Musa, O Musa, verily there are some strong people in this place. These people who you want us to go to fight, they are powerful and they are strong. And verily we will never enter into their city until they first leave the city without any fight. If they left the city without a fight, then we'll enter into it. In another ayat of the Quran in Surah Al-Ma'idah, in ayat number 24, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Bani Israel said, قَالُوا يَا مُوسَىٰ إِنَّ لَن نَدْخُلَهَا أَبَدٍ مَا دَامُوا فِيهَا فَاذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَا أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ اِذْهَبَ فَقَاتِلَا إِنَّا هَا هُنَا قَائِدُونَ. They said to Musa, O Musa, verily we will never enter into this city. As long as those people are in there, we will never enter. So you go forth, you and your Lord, and you fight, because it's your problem. It's you and Allah's problem, so you go forth. This helps us to understand, ikhwan, and there are many ayahs in the Quran like this, that in actuality, the Jews, as the Quran tells us, are people who are cowards. Allah Ta'ala has created them that way and He's allowed them to become people who are cowards. And they'll never ever stand in front of a group of people who have been given power, strength, and numbers. And they'll never ever stand in front of the Muslims if the Muslims were united and practicing Islam, even if the Muslims' numbers were less than theirs. But now, since the Muslims are a people who have left the deen, and they only connected to the deen by way of their names, Ahmed, Abdullah, Mustafa, Bilal, we find that the Yahuds of today seem to be people who have been given power and authority. But the fact of the matter, as we study in the story of Uzair, when Allah tabarak wa ta'ala allowed Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon to come and destroy Bani Israel, He also told Bani Israel in Surah Al-Isra, in the ayahs that we studied, that if you return back to Yazin, we'll give you, we gave you, when you return back to Yazin, we gave you authority over them. And when you left Yazin, we gave them authority over you. And this is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His creation. If you do right in ahsantum, fahsan ahsantum li anfusikum. If you people do good, you do good for your own selves. Wa in asa'tum, asa'tum alayha. And if you did evil, you did evil against your own selves. وَلَن تُضُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. And you do not harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one bit. We want to finish this inshallah ta'ala. So what we're going to do is we're going to leave that and we're going to do this last ayat inshallah. Ayat number 250, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمَّا بَرَزُوا لِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُودِهِ قَالُوا رَبَّنَا أَفْرِقْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. And when they advanced to meet Goliath and his forces, they invoked and they made dua and they said, Our Lord, give us patience and make us victorious and plant our feet firmly and make us victorious over those who believe. Over those who disbelieve. First of all, ikhwan, concerning the jihad, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us in authentic hadith that if we were to meet the enemies, he said, لا يتمنن أحدكم لقاء العدو. Do not let any of you wish to meet the enemy. Do not any of you wish to meet the enemy. Why not? Because you may get killed. And he told us in the authentic hadith, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ طَالَ أُمْرُهُ وَحَسُنَ عَمَلُهُ وَشَرُّكُمْ مَنْ طَالَ أُمْرُهُ وَأَسَاءَ عَمَلُهُ. The best of you is he who lives long and he has good deeds. And the worst of you is he who lives long and his deeds are bad. So here he prevented us from hoping to meet the enemy. So the point is, he told us, and if you meet them, then be patient and ask Allah for establishment, as-tabat, like this is happening in this ayah. When they said, give us patience and establish us firmly. So we see that this was the sunnah of the people who went before us as well. When they were going to meet the enemy, they were ordered to make this dua of asking for patience and firmness in terms of standing before the enemy. That's number one. Number two, we all know that this Bible story tells us that Jalut or Goliath was a big giant. And this is authentic. Goliath was a huge man. And Dawood, alayhi salatu wassalam, was in the army of Saul and he slaughtered Goliath with his slingshot. And after slaughtering Goliath, they destroyed their enemies. Bani Israel destroyed the army of Goliath by the permission of Allah. So we understand that from this story, Dawood was after Musa in terms of the chronological order. Because at the beginning of the story it said, the first ayah, do you not remember the group from Bani Israel who came after Musa? And in a few ayahs ago, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the sign of His kingdom will be that the tabut, or this box, will come back to you. And this box will contain the remnant of what was left behind by Musa and Harun, Aaron. Some of the ulama say that in this box, the Afa, or the staff of Musa, was there. The shoes of Musa that he took off at the mountain of Tur. The thawb of Musa. The thawb of Harun. The parchments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave. The Ten Commandments to Musa, or the scripture to Musa. They say this is what was in that parchment. But there's no authentic hadith coming to tell us that. So we don't believe it and we don't disbelieve it. It's from the Israeliyat. And we close with this point. This Goliath, ikhwan, recently I was talking to a brother who had a problem with understanding the Ghag and the Maghag, the Ma'juj. And he said that the Ghag and the Maghag were white people. They are white people because of all of the evil that white people were spreading in the earth. And we find that some people interpret the Ghag and the Maghag to be Chinese people. When we come up with these type of interpretations, first of all, we don't have any dalil from the Quran and the Sunnah for that interpretation. So you're speaking with no knowledge. And second of all, the Quran and the Sunnah refutes that statement. Because we know that white people today, Europeans, wherever they come from, are mixing with us day in and day out. Whereas the Quran and the Sunnah has informed us that the Gog and the Magog are people who have been created, who are entrapped with a big gate that was built by Dhul Qarnayn in Surah Al-Kahf. And they have not come out on the earth as of yet. So if they were Europeans, you either have to say that the Prophet is lying or you're lying. And of course we're going to say that this person is lying. The Gog and the Magog, every day they're getting closer and closer to breaking out from this gate. So we do not give interpretations of the Quran and the Sunnah based upon our whims. We have, as I've been telling you so many times, an imam in America who was famous for saying that the Goliath of this story is not a real person, but it's symbolic, it's allegorical. Goliath here is symbolic of the big buildings and the big civilizations of America and the West. This is Goliath. So David, who was not really a prophet, is not really a person, is symbolic and allegorical of righteousness. So the meaning of the ayah is that righteousness will destroy the civilization that these people have built with these skyscrapers, the ability to travel out into space, the abilities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. Again, this is a tafsir with no dalil whatsoever. Not from the Quran and not from the Sunnah. Even though as Muslims we have to believe that the religion and righteousness is what's going to destroy that. We believe that. But Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam was a human being, a prophet of Allah, who did the things that Allah ta'ala said that he did in the Quran. And Goliath, or Jalut, is a human being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran. So we have to be careful of these people who give us these tafsirs that have nothing. They have no proof whatsoever for what they're saying. So now if you brothers have any questions concerning the lesson, inshallah we'll entertain those questions. We have a few minutes before Salat, inshallah.
Judah and Levi were brothers, two sons of Yaqub.
So the two didn't accept him, since he was not from the tribe of Judah.
They didn't accept him to be a king over them, to be the ruler and the leader over them, because up until that point, the kings were from the tribe of Judah, and the prophets from the tribe of Levi. So their problem was, how is he going to be a king over us? How are you going to make him a king over us? He has no authority. And not only was he not from the tribe of Judah, but he was a person who held a position that was low in society. According to Ibn Abbas, Talut, Saul, was the one who used to pour water. That was his job, to pour water for the people. But Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gave him knowledge and power in his jism, in his body, bodily prowess. Naam, tafadhal ya akhi. Well, in Haile Selassie's position, not only it has really nothing now with him to do with him coming from Judah or Levi or anyone else. Let's say that he really came from Judah and he can prove that lineage, connection. We reject statement that he's a prophet, because the Messenger of Allah said, La Nabi Abadi, there's no prophet after me. So even if he was from Judah, he's a liar. He's the lying person of Judah. Because the Messenger of Allah explained to us, no more prophets coming. As for whether he is from Judah, Allahu A'lam, Allahu A'lam, Allahu A'lam. So some of the brothers who at one time or another had some dealings with Rastafarianism, and they may have believed that, or they some shape, form, or fashion with Haile Selassie, may get from Allah what he deserved. This is a situation where a person is coming to Islam, and he has not entered into Islam totally and completely. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, utkhulu. He orders us, enter into the silm, into al-Islam, kafatan, wholeheartedly, come totally into al-Islam. Leave all the luggage that you have from Jahiliyyah behind you. You can't smoke anymore. You can't deal with the women who are haram for you anymore. You can't be oppressive to your women anymore, and so forth and so on. So for you to come into Islam, after once being a Rasta, or someone who had some connection with them, you have to reject that. Totally. Now the people from Bani Israel. Okay, I understand what you're saying. He never claimed to be God reincarnate. I can't say that Haile Selassie said that he was the son of God, that I heard that or I read that he said that. But one thing I do know is that he slaughtered the Muslims of Habesha, of Ethiopia. He slaughtered them. And he made a lot of them mutamarridun, you know? Not mutamarridun. He made them sharraduhum. He put them in exile, drove them out. I know that for a fact. And I know that he cooperated with the kuffar when that drought was coming, and those kuffar knew it was coming for political means, and he allowed hundreds of thousands of his own people to die so that he can help the kuffar. So because of that, we say, may he get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that which he deserves. If he's not Allah ilaha illallah, then he's a kafir, and there's no good in him. La khayra fi. Naam Abdul Rahman. That's a good question, Akhi. The Prophet ﷺ used to say every time before he came to talk to the people, Inna khayr al-kalam, kalamullah. Wa khayr al-huda, huda Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best speech is the speech of Allah. And the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So the best du'as that a servant can make, the best supplication that the Abdullah al-Muslim can make, is the du'as that you find in the Qur'an. So in this particular du'a, it's not a du'a that is exclusively to be said in the jihad. It can be said when you go to work. It can be said for any situation. For any situation. Because there is no text that comes to us to make it restricted. So therefore, the opportunity is allowed for the Muslim to use it when he deems it appropriate and necessary. That's it. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.